1 Samuel 16, verses 1 to 13, if you want to follow along in your church Bibles. I haven't a clue what the number is because I forgot to look, but I'm sure that you can find it. It's 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 to 13. If you're reading along, be warned, I might go off script, so it's not going to be necessarily completely 1 Samuel 16, verse 1 to 13. So in 1 Samuel, verse 16, 1 to 13, it starts off with Saul. And Saul is a king. He is the first king of Israel. And he was chosen by God to be the first king of Israel. But as his reign continued, he got worse and worse and worse. And he fell further and further from God. And God decided, this won't do. I need a new king. I need a new king for my people. So God told Samuel, one of his prophets. He said, Samuel, I need you to go to this little town called Bethlehem. Okay? Ride a donkey. No, don't. A little town called Bethlehem. And I want you to go and find a guy called Jesse. And Jesse has got lots of sons. And one of those sons is going to be the next king of Israel. So I want you to go to Bethlehem and to find Jesse. And kind of throw a barbecue. I mean, in the Bible it says sacrifice, but I'm going for a more family-friendly tone. Throw a barbecue. Get some burgers on, invite Jesse along, and then choose the next king. So Samuel, they eat a burger or two, and then Samuel says to Jesse, he says, can you send me your oldest son? Can you show me your oldest son? Because I need to find the next king of Israel. And so Jesse calls for his oldest son, and the oldest son, oh my word, like, he was so tall. Like, remember how tall Nick was? Like, double it. He was tall. He was so, so tall. He was incredibly tall. And Samuel was like, ah, this is the king. Like, imagine this guy as the king. He could just pick someone up and throw him, right? This guy is the king. This guy is the king. God, this guy is the king, right? And God said, no, Samuel, no. You see, I look at what's on the inside and not what's on the outside. And Samuel's like, okay, fine. Jesse, have you got another son? And Jesse went, I have got eight. So let's send him for the second one. So the second one comes in, and he was muscular. Like, he was ripped. Like, imagine the Hulk and Dwayne The Rock Johnson merged together. He was that muscular, right? He was so muscular. And Samuel said, God, this is the king. He could punch someone and they'd be knocked unconscious straight away. This is the king. He's going to be such a good king. And God said, no, Samuel, listen. I don't look at what's on the outside. I look what's on the inside. Samuel went, oh, yeah, sorry. Forgot about that. Yeah, okay. Send for the next son. And the next son, oh, he was so cool. He was just so cool. Like, imagine me. He was so cool. He was just so cool. And he just, you know when like someone walks into a room and they're just cool? You know what I mean? When they just walk in and they have like a kind of swag. And Samuel was like, this is the king. And again, God said, no. Not outside, inside. And Samuel's like, okay, fine. And the next son was handsome. Just beautiful. Right, imagine me. But slightly less handsome. Because you can't build on perfection. So the next son comes and he's so handsome. And Samuel's like, he's going to get all the ladies. He's definitely going to produce an heir to the throne. This is the king. This is the one. Okay, got it. Outside, not inside. But this is the one. And God said, no, you don't understand. I don't look at what's on the outside. I look at what's on the inside. Anyway, this happened three more times. With various different physical attributes. And it got to the end, and God was still saying, no, this isn't the right son. And Samuel was a bit deflated. He was a bit like, well, we've gone through seven sons here. Like, Jesse, do you by chance have another son? And Jesse was like, yeah, I've got the youngest. I've got one more, the youngest. He's watching sheep, though. And Samuel's like, right, everyone stay standing. Let's go and get this son. Let's find this son. Let's see. No one sit down until this son comes back. And in comes this son. And oh my word, was this son the smelliest kid you've ever smelled, okay? Like, if you're sat next to a boy right now, just take a deep breath, times it by 100, and you get how smelly this kid was, because he was farming sheep, he was just in the mess of it, and he was small, imagine me, he was small, and Samuel was like, oh, this surely can't be the king. But God said, yes, this is the next king. This small, smelly boy is going to be the future king of Israel. And then Samuel anointed David and sent him on the way. And that is the word of the Lord, approximately. Thanks be to God. Cool. So, when I looked at this story to do a sermon on, I thought, this is really simple. This is a really, really simple story. Really, really, really simple. And you can break it down in 3 points, and it's really, really simple. And the first being, let me turn on my clicker. The first being, God looks at the inside. I think we all picked that up, didn't we? God looks at the inside. Who can tell me what the inside is? Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know. When I thought about it, I was like, God looks at the inside. Easy, easy peasy. And then suddenly it was like, well, what is the inside? And I'm not the most theologically trained person on the planet, but I know this. When God looks at the inside, he doesn't judge people based on their lower intestine, okay? That's not what he's doing. He's not looking at your organs and going, that's the guy. He's got a great liver. Great liver. That's not what he's doing. And in some translations, it says, God looks at the heart. Makes it so much simpler. Except it doesn't, because what is the heart? What is the heart? It's not your pulmonary veins. Thank you, GCSE biology revisioners. It's not your pulmonary veins, is it? God doesn't look at your heart, your physical heart. So what is the heart? And then it sent me on another spiral. So then I went, what's at the heart? What's at the center? It's like pie, okay? It's like, what's at the center of pie? Is it cherry? Is it apple? Do you know what? That analogy is rubbish. Get rid of that. Forget I said about pie. We'll use that later. What's at the center? What's behind our actions and thoughts? I think this is what the heart, this is what the inside is. What's behind our action and thoughts? What motivates us? Are we motivated by selfishness? Do we do things because we want to get ahead of other people? Are we motivated by kindness? Do we do things because we want to see other people succeed? Do we do things out of love? Do we do it because we love other people so much that we want the best for them? Do we do it out of hatred? Do we do it because we dislike other people and we want to drag them down? And I thought to best illustrate this is if you were asked by your friend, I'm baking for a cake sale to raise money for charity. Would you help me bake a cake? Now, some people would say, yes, I'd love to bake cakes, because they'd really want to see as many cakes made so that as many cakes could be sold so that as much money as possible could go towards charity, because they care about the charity. And some people would say, yes, but can I lick the spoon? Who likes licking the spoon? We like licking the spoon. But is that the sole reason? Do we help other people just so that we can get a reward out of it? Just so that we can get a reward out of it. And I don't know how many siblings you have. I have a sister. She's older than me. I'm very fortunate to just have one. And I don't know if you have siblings, especially if you've got older siblings, if you're the youngest, put your hands up for the youngest in your family, and you've got older siblings, do they pick on you? Yeah. Do they call you names? Yes. Now, David was the youngest of 8. That's 7 brothers to pick on you. That's a lot of brothers to pick on you. And I imagine that they called him names. I imagine they played pranks on him. I imagine that they used his head as an armrest. You know that? If you're the smallest, you know what that means. That's awful. Never do it to someone. Anyway. And yet, when he was chosen to be king, he didn't do what I do. He didn't do what I would do. If I was chosen to be king, I'd be like, see ya, suckers. I'd be gone, right? I'd be so happy. I'd be like, oh, you're the first to be beheaded because you played that prank on me, right? He didn't do that. Do you know what he did? David went back to the field and looked after the sheep. How humble is that? He didn't lord it over his brothers. He didn't make a huge fuss of it. He just went back to do what he was doing already. And that humbleness, I think that's what God saw in David. That quality of a king. He saw that humbleness and loved it. And that's what he saw inside him. And my next point is this. We're not chosen to do everything, but we're all chosen to do something by God. When the first brother is brought to Samuel, God said, "This is not the king, for I have rejected him." Pretty harsh words. "For I have rejected him." Now, I don't believe that God has rejected him entirely. God has just rejected him for this role. It's a bit like God wouldn't choose me to be an accountant, okay? He also wouldn't choose me to do photoshopping, but that's another point. God wouldn't choose me to do accountancy because I can't count up to 100 without getting confused. I get to like 54 and then I skip to 65. Like I get very confused with numbers. And so I wouldn't be a very good accountant. I don't know if you've ever felt like you've been overlooked. When back in PE, like PE, where you had to be chosen to go into teams. And you'd be lined up against the wall. Is this familiar to people? Yeah. When you're lined up against the wall and then there's two team captains because they're the best and the teacher likes them. And they'd get to pick the kids. And they'd be like, yeah, I want you. And the next one would be like, yeah, I want you. And then it'd get down to like the last three or four. I was always in that last three and four. And it always felt like I was being overlooked. And our teacher, I don't know whether this happens in any other school. I just want to bring it up. This isn't really even to do with the passage. It's just, I need to get it off my chest. My teacher, right, when it got down to the last four, he wouldn't let them pick. He would just put you in a group. I thought this was worse. Because I was never chosen. I was never chosen for anything because I was just put into groups. At least if you're the second to last, you know you're better than the other guy, right? Do you know what I mean? At least you know you're better than the other guy. And David was this overlooked kid. When it came to it, when Samuel asked whether there was one more son, his dad said, there's the youngest. The youngest. Didn't even call him by his name. He called him the youngest. Isn't that weird? He was so overlooked. Oh yeah, there's the youngest kid. He's out somewhere doing something else whilst the other brothers have been invited to this barbecue. But this kid is elsewhere. He was really overlooked. And yet it was God who chose him to be king. And God has chosen you. And I'm talking to all of you individually right now. I can't look at all of you individually because my eyes will go funny. But God has chosen each and every one of you to do something amazing. That's the truth. He's chosen each and every one of you to do something amazing. And we all have different gifts and we all have different abilities which are suited to other things more than other things. It's a bit like pie. It's not. It's not like pie. I got confused. It's not about pie. It's not about pie. It's a bit like chocolate. Who likes chocolate? We all like chocolate. Chocolate is great, right? Chocolate is great. It's got great qualities. And one of the greatest qualities of chocolate is that it can be made into cake. Right? Chocolate. Doesn't that look great, by the way? Oh, I'm really hungry. Okay, so chocolate cake. It's great. Chocolate is great for making cake. Agreed? Chocolate is not so good for making a teapot. Although, again, that does look really good. But that's besides the point. It's not good, because it would melt, wouldn't it? The chocolate would just melt with the heat of the water. It wouldn't be suitable. So just like that, some of us are suited to preach. Some of us are suited to serve. And God will use whatever your gifts are to best do that. And this is an important bit. Is God takes who we are. What I was just saying, God takes who we are. He sees us inside. He knows what's inside of us. He knows our individual gifts and talents and our hearts. And he knows whether we're kind-hearted or whether we're selfish. And he looks at that and he knows who we are. And he can take who we are. And he can make something special from it. At the end of the story, this happens. This isn't a picture of Samuel rinsing the shampoo from David's head, which is what I thought it looked like. This is Samuel anointing David, anointing, choosing him. Now, we're really lucky. We live post-Jesus, we live post-resurrection, we live post-ascension. Jesus has gone up to heaven, and what he did is he left a gift for us. He left us the Holy Spirit. Back before, in the Old Testament, especially around here, what used to happen was God would anoint people and pour the Holy Spirit on individuals. He'd choose some special people and he'd put it on them. But he could also take them away, as we'll find out with David. He also takes the Holy Spirit away from people in the Old Testament when they're not good enough. But here's the great thing, is that we're all good enough. We can all access the Holy Spirit. Each one of us are chosen by God. There's no special people anymore. God has chosen all of us to be special. He's chosen all of us to have this power of the Holy Spirit. He's anointed every single one of us. So what does this mean? It means that God will take our individuality. He will take our different gifts. He will take our gifts of organization. Who has gifts of organization? Good, you can be my PAs in the future. Gifts of organization, gifts of creativity, gifts of compassion, of empathy. He takes all of these gifts and he gives them to us. And he gave us free will. He gave us the choice to do with it what we will. On our own, we can do great stuff with these ingredients. We can make a pastry with that ingredients. We can make a nice pastry. It's nice. It's a good pastry, isn't it? We like pastry, but we wouldn't order pastry on its own at a restaurant. We wouldn't go, I'll have the rough puff. And no one ever goes to a restaurant and said, that's the pastry I want. Do you know what I mean? Pastry's great, but on its own, it's a little bit bland. It's not necessarily anything special. So what can we do? Well, we can ask God to mold it. We can ask God to come into our lives and mold the pastry into the way that he wants it to be done. We can ask God to fill us with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And from that, God can make a pie. God can make a pie. And this is it. This is the analogy that I wanted the pie for. Here we go. So the pie, it's got something special inside, hasn't it? It's got something special inside. It's not just pastry. It's got something special inside. And the great thing about pie is you can share it with other people. You can share it with other people. And people go, good pie. What's in this pie? And we can go, it's God. I'm not saying turn God into a pie. This is getting very messy, but bear with me. What I'm trying to say is that when we share, when we let God allow us to do something special with God, when we work in partnership with God, when he looks at the inside, when he sees what we've got and uses our talents, he can make something special which we can share with other people, which can benefit other people, which can feed other people, but it can also help other people come closer to God. And in a bit, we're going to have Holy Communion. And I'd love to pray for some people as well. If you feel like you've got all these talents, but you don't know what to do with them. If you feel like, I've done my best. I've made this pastry. It's a bit soggy, but it's done. I've got pastry. And you want to turn it into a pie. Can I encourage you today to pray? If you need prayer, come to me. I'd love to pray for you. And we're a church family, that's what we're here for. We're here to pray for other people. And I'd love to pray for you, and I'd love to help you get filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can go out and use your talents, use your gifts, use your special abilities, and the who you are at the center, at the core, to do great things for God. And there endeth today's sermon. Thank you very much.